Sir, the possibility of successfully navigating an asteroid field is approximately 3,720 to 1.
Never tell me the odds.
I'm Pete Mitchell. He's Peyton Jones. And this is the Church Planner Podcast.
Welcome back to the Church Planner Podcast. Peyton Jones here with you, and I am joined by my friend, my partner in the gospel work, and also one of my mentors and leaders, Dr. Larry Wachemeyer. Good to have you on here.
Hey, it's great to be with you, Peyton. Always a joy and an honor, and you're doing such incredible work that it's a great joy to be with you.
Well, it's amazing to have you on here. You're an author and leader I deeply respect. You're a practitioner, multiplier at Light and Life Fellowship in Long Beach, where I planted years ago, but you have planted out of that church. I think the count's like up to 30-something churches now, and you have just been a mobilizer, an equipper of others, just someone whose your passion is really to mobilize. Deb as well, your wife, who is a baller in her own right. But I want to thank you for coming on today. We're going to talk a little bit about the themes from Discipology. You're an author of multiple books, Playthuno, which you can get at Exponential, the Mobilization Flywheel. I mean, just amazing works. And then your new one, The Making of a Multiplier, which is going to be released with Dave Ferguson's book as a part of the Exponential team this year. You serve on the Exponential team, and you are also the director of multiplication for the Free Methodist Church in America, which I'm also a part of, mostly due to you. I blame you. That's why I'm there. And I'll just say a word before we get started, because it has been one of the greatest joys of my life and Andrew's life to come into this family. It is just so focused on multiplication. All the things that any of my listeners would be passionate about, I finally found the Peyton-shaped hole out there in a tribe that fit me. And I have worked with a lot of denominations and been so appreciative of, you know, people like the Southern Baptists, you know, the Presbyterians, the Lutherans, but this is my tribe, you know. And I always thought, oh, I'll be this freak because I'm you know, conservative on scripture, believe in empowering women, am you know, socially concerned without being woke. Yet, you know, all of these different things that were so close, near and dear to my heart. And you and I just got to know each other on the Exponential team, and we started talking. And of course, John Wesley, to me, closest thing that we've ever had since the Apostle Paul. That DNA runs throughout the Free Methodists. And this is one of the coolest things is they broke off during the time of slavery. They're like, that and a couple other issues are like, yeah, we really can't be having that.
Right.
And I always feel that this is the time for the Free Methodists. I cannot wait for people to discover us. And it's funny because you're not like technically a leader in it, but you are an influencer, director of multiplication. You mentioned on an earlier podcast that I don't have authority, but I have influence. And I would say that influence is even more powerful, that you have been used so greatly of God to get so many churches to multiply, even at Exponential, the largest tribe of people and gathering there is actually the Free Methodist tribe. And so as I say that, audience, just know this makes everyone in the Free Methodist uncomfortable because they're so kingdom-minded that they're like, look, we're nothing special. Don't talk about us. Don't talk about us. They're always wanting like, no, it's not about Free Methodism. And I get that. But I just personally, Larry, I have so much to thank you for, brother, because I have found myself in a tribe of like-minded people, and it has meant the world to us after 20 years of not really having a home. So thank you for that.
Well, you're welcome. And you and Andrea have been a great gift to our family already in the 2 or 3 years you've been with us. And so I do feel like it's just a marriage made in heaven to have you guys partnering with us. And the things that I've been trying to say, you're saying so much better. And this new book coming out, Discipology, is just one of the instances of that. Such broad kingdom impact that book is going to have. But also then, on our part of the kingdom at Free Methodists, I just think it's going to be a great tool that really helps our people multiply and mobilize.
And thanks for that. You know, one of the things that everybody knows, they read one of my books, are like, this dude loves circles. He likes to put those circles on top of each other and watch what they do. And of course, you guys know that the Venn diagram where you put three circles on top of each other. And you say, if these three circles align kind of like the moons on the dark crystal, special stuff's going to happen. Well, in Discipology, what you have is you have three circles that overlap, and it they represent Jesus's disciple making strategy. And when you put these three circles over top of one another, time, teaching, and tactics, you get mobilization, because that's what Jesus focused on in those 3 years, was mobilizing. And I like to kind of have people imagine, what would it have been like if Jesus, rather than dropping into the Gospels, decided to just, hey, I'm going to take Acts. You know, let me do, you know, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, ends of the earth. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do the Acts part. We're going to skip all that gospel. And I'm just going to plant churches. If Jesus kind of did a you know, when you're playing Chutes and Ladders or Candyland, he just zipped up, you know, Gumdrop Lane and just bypassed all the other squares and decided, I'm just going to do this. Well, we all kind of scratch our heads and go, no, he wouldn't do that. Like mobilizing those 12 was key. So the theme of this talk is really why mobilization precedes multiplication. And Larry, this is just something that, knowing you and your ministry, you have done so well over the years. Like, you wouldn't have these 30-something church plants if you had not mobilized. To you, what has been the importance of mobilization as the causative factor of multiplication?
Yeah, I think, Peyton, I'd need to take it back to the priesthood of all believers. If you don't start with that understanding that the Holy Spirit is upon every Spirit-filled believer and has a calling that needs to be released, you don't really have the foundation to work from theologically. And so one of the things I've just prioritized in our ministry, I'm not sure why the Lord has helped us to do this, but he's been so gracious to help me see the potential of every believer in the body of Christ, and especially those then that begin to be discipled and move into that calling that God has for them. And I love your three circles, because I think that's exactly representative of how Jesus carried out this mobilization and why he gets to the end of his ministry. And he says, now you go. You've been going, but I'm going away. Now you go. And the next thing you know, you're in the upper room, and there's the sound of the breath of God, the mighty rushing wind, but then you get this bonfire that comes down into the upper room and then distributes onto the head of all 120 people that are gathered in that room, from the youngest to the oldest, the ones that most educated, least educated, everyone gets their own flame of fire.
Amen.
And when you begin to see that, then you want to begin to release that, and you won't multiply if you don't disciple well towards releasing those gifts that God's Spirit is wanting to manifest through these ordinary believers.
Well, it's funny because in your recent book, you guys really talk about that, like the importance of disciple making at the heart of this. And that's your book, The Making of a Multiplier. It's interesting because the 12 really did slow down and go deep with those 5,000 people that were saved, the thousands at Pentecost and then the thousands of few, I think it was 2,000 at Pentecost and 3,000 a couple days later. They just slowed down. Imagine if you had 5,000 people overnight and it, that Acts 2:42 was all about pouring into them, doing, repeating what Jesus did for them. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to breaking of bread, to prayer, to fellowship, to, you know, on and on. That whole thing was like, again, they're pouring in, they're investing, they're making disciples. And the multiplication that we see just in the book of Acts is a result of that. So much so that when Antioch gets planted, there's no leader there. And the apostles are like, hey, wait a second, there's something moving up there in Antioch. We better send some leaders because, you know, obviously they're going to need help. But that's what mobilized believers do. I'm sure so many of the things that you saw happen in Long Beach were just people with crazy gifts, you know, just leaning into what the Holy Spirit put in them, that tongue of fire, and just catching fire somewhere in the city of Long Beach or beyond, like Compton with your wife's Compton garden.
Yeah.
That's mobilization.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think one of the errors in the multiplication thinking is that we can teach multiplication. And what I mean by that is you can teach about multiplication, but it's that time that you spend life on life with someone that you really catch the fire of someone's life. And if we're going to be mobilizers and disciple makers for the kingdom, we have to bring people close enough to us over a long enough period of time that they really catch our fire. Because, you know, like it's been said, we teach what we know, but we reproduce who we are. Mm-hmm. So in our context at Light and Life, where we've planted so many churches, it has been that idea of how do you get a small circle of people close enough to you for a long enough period of time that they want the next move is to, you know, is like, what am I doing missionally? But then some of them are called to be church planters and off they go because they have that fire, they have that foundation. And of course, I one of my favorite scriptures is, I think it's John 3:22, where Jesus took the disciples into the wilderness and spent time with them. It's like that word diatribu, which was used for seasoning meat, rubbing himself into the disciples, but it was also used for breaking in a new sandal. So that when you walk in biblical times, when you had those leather sandals, you'd put your foot in it, and at first it wouldn't be conformed to your foot, and it wouldn't be quite comfortable. But the more you walked in it and rubbed off on,
wow,
the more it rubbed off on that sandal, the sandal conformed to the foot.
Wow.
And so this idea of spending time with in order to take on the character and the mindset and the fire of the spirit, the passion for the lost, they were taking on that time. They were taking on that Jesus kind of heart as they were on mission with him.
I love that. And that just makes me remember, you know, because it's been, you know, I finished the book back in October, was final draft. But you're making me remember that, you know, when we first started doing this, it was training. We weren't actually trying to write a book. And the way that I always work is I do stuff first. And then I think, okay, I'm on to something here. This stuff really works. And I've been making disciples for days. I've never not made disciples. I mean, it's just something I did almost. This is kind of ridiculous. But the first guy I led to Jesus, I led him to Christ I think a couple days after I got saved. And I told him I had to disciple him because I had come to Jesus first.
That's good.
So he was a great sport. He was like, okay, cool. You know, I led him to Jesus on the phone and I was like, hey, you're going to hell just like I was yesterday. And you need Jesus. And, you know, all you got to do is love him and know he died for you and he'll forgive you. Are you ready for that? And he's like, okay. And, you know, that was my story. And what's funny though, is that those three circles, the time aspect of disciple making determines who we are. Like you had said earlier, we reproduce who we are. So that piece is really important. And then the second piece is the teaching part, which is what we know, right?
Yes.
And a lot of our transformation comes not just from knowing, but when you put that time and teaching circle overlapped, just those two, you have discipleship, where the formation of who you are and what you know blend together in community. That's why discipleship always happens in community. Yeah. You really don't change when you're on your own. My wife and I used to tell people we thought we were so holy till we got married. You know, and the real us came out, and then we're like, oh, okay, we're not as sanctified as we thought. Even marriage is like a type of discipleship, this death, this self, this your rough edges coming out. But it doesn't really become disciple making until you add that third and tactical circle over it. And that one determines what we do. And you and I have the mutual friend in Todd Wilson. And he's got be, do, go, right? So I've got time teaching tactics, which are, you know, I'm always going to think action oriented, but the outcomes are what Todd's pointing, be, do, go. And so many people, John Mark Comer, you know, his way of the master, he recently, he has his three. And I always think to myself, cause I don't feel like I invented any of this stuff in discipleology. I just, my job in my writing is always like Indiana Jones, like, let's just move some of the dust away. The Ark of the Covenant's here. I'm not that brilliant to figure this stuff out. But if I can help others see what's been buried and what's already there, then I've done what I need to do. And I always think if God's speaking to anyone, any knucklehead, he's probably speaking to a bunch of us. And that's what's encouraging me, that three-part pattern. You just see it popping up. What is it? Lead Like Jesus, you know, big organization years ago. They have head, heart, hands. Again, same thing, right? The head is what you know. The heart is your relationships with people, and the hands, what you do. Like this three-part framework is just, I think it's universal.
Yes.
I just think it's there. And if we don't learn to harness that, you know, and we don't learn to make disciples, I kind of make the point, and Dave Ferguson really came on stage a few years ago, I think it was the year before last, and he told the story of a friend telling him, Dave, you're multiplying churches, and I so badly want to get behind that and fund it. He's one of his major donors. But he said, what kind of churches are you multiplying?
Exactly.
And Dave said, we've got to go back even before that and look at that mobilization aspect.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because I think the multiplication movement sputters and stalls out without mobilization or disciple making at the heart of it. You will never achieve it.
Absolutely. As long as you're approaching it as a programmatic training, teaching, you know, I see too many organizations trying to do it with, okay, we're going to teach you this weekend how to plant a church. And I'm not saying that's not valuable, and praise God for anybody that does that, but that's not the way the kingdom fire spreads. It spreads along relational lines, because disciple making is so relational. And I love
your illustrations of the three different movements, whether it's be, do, go, or time teaching tactics. And when we really moved into what we call the River Church mentality, which is that we were the fastest growing church in our denomination. Everybody flowed into one place to build one vision, gave to one budget, and were volunteers to build the vision. And we just kept everybody in. That was the lake mentality. God revealed from Ezekiel 47, a different kind of mentality, a river mentality, where people would come in and then flow out. But when that was being birthed, Peyton, God gave me a very clear vision that I just thought about while you were describing those three. One of the clearest visions I've ever had. And in this vision, I was standing on a grassy hillside, and I was looking out to the horizon, and a large group of people were coming towards me. I didn't even know they were people at first, but as they got closer and closer, I discovered that there were like red, they were different colors and different shapes. And I looked around behind me, and there was this large wall just filled with doors. And on that wall were different colors and different shapes of doors. And what I began to realize as the people got closer to me, that there was a red circle guy and an orange triangle guy. And that as they got close to me, I really saw who they were. And then my job was not to hold on to them, but it was to point them towards the door that fit them. Oh, there's that red circle door. There's that orange triangle door. And I was to be a door opener for them. And so this idea of getting close enough to people to really see what God is doing in them and speaking into that, and then doing what you can to open the door so you mobilize them into what God has called them to. And God said, Larry, you're probably never going to have a big crowd, but you're going to release a lot of kingdom impact.
That's amazing, Larry. That vision, I don't think I knew that. I might have read it in one of your books, but I don't remember that. But that is one of the coolest things that I think I've heard in a long time. So it is a them shape door that they're going into. That is so cool. Wow. I normally I'm not at a loss for words, but that's one of those, Larry, where I'm really chewing on that because I love that. I think that Jesus picked those different disciples on purpose. They were so different. And, you know, even one of the things that I keep pointing out to people, because you know that, you know, we started this on Through the Word, there's this audio guide. Like, obviously, Discipology is a book, and then there's Journey to Disciple Making, which I'm kind of guilty of not talking about as much. The Leader's Guide is Discipology. The Journal is for the everyday disciple maker to go through, and it's got the daily training, you know, it's the like devotional style, and then it's got a, you know, reflection questions. But that book's not meant to be used on its own. It's meant to enhance the MVP. Right? The minimum viable product is actually the plan, the Discipology plan, the audio guides that you can get on Through the Word. Free, no price point, you know, always going to be free. And you listen, you know, in devotional, like 10 minutes a day, and you go through and it's training, and then it'll drop you into, you're going to, with your, we talk about getting a partner, you and your two, you could be, if you're into sailing, go do sailboating stuff. If you're into golf, go do golfing stuff. You start walking together, and you know, you spend time together, and then you the teaching is the part where we're training you, just train the 12 on the second year. And then the third is you're gonna go. So you're gonna take someone through John's gospel. It's a time, teaching, and tactics. But on that audio guide, that is the MVP. And so we open that up to beta testers. Now, on Through the Word, where I'm a teacher, we had 80, it was like a reach of like 12 million people. We had a Job beta test. We did the book of Job together, and 85 people signed up for it. Then, not thinking we're going to get but we think maybe, disciple making, no one's going to sign up for that, right? Like, that's like when you invite people to a prayer meeting.
Yeah, right, suddenly right.
Everybody's, my kids right. in sports or whatever. But you, we thought, 3,000 people signed up.
Wow.
And we're kind of blown away. We're like, wow, we got to actually create this system back at house a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. Than
we thought. And because their first thing is to go grab someone else. Well, half of them did that. So, mm-hmm. and we can track all this data. So like when you have stuff, like when you can track this, people make up, we made this many, we can track all this because it's through an app that we can track every movement. And when a group of two becomes three, we can track how many disciples made, but immediately overnight in the beta test, it's not even official yet. Half the people went and grabbed a disciple making partner. So there's 4,500 people
awesome. In here
doing this. And this hasn't even gone out to the 12 million. This is just a very small control group. But what we found was so many people were kind of writing themselves off as, well, I'm here. I'm going to, that other half, I'm here, but, I'm just going to listen and learn because I don't think I'm really a born disciple maker. I'm an introvert. And that's where, for me, and thank God I pointed this out in the book, that the three extroverts on Jesus's team, we know who they are, right? James, John, Peter, hello, big mouth, right? Like they're the extroverts. They're the ones that are putting it out there all the time. And they're super active and verbal. And John and James, sons of thunder, call fire at you.
Yeah.
The apostle of love, like these three guys, and they end up becoming network leaders of multiplication anyways, which is why Jesus focused. For those of you out there, there were two Jameses. The first James dies, and then the second James just takes his place and does the same first James was intended to do. But the other nine are introverts. That's my guess anyways, Larry, because we never hear a peep out of them in the book of Acts. After chapter one, listener names, we never read. We read about Peter. We read about John. We read about James, the extroverts. We don't hear a thing about those nine, but they are in there.
Right.
They are making those disciples in Jerusalem. They are busy. But I love if Jesus picks nine introverts out of a team of 12, he's top loading his team with introverts. The 12 that turned the world upside down was primarily three quarters introverts. Now, that's because the focus is not on your personality. It's right. not on how good you can talk. It's actually the opposite. It's how good you can listen.
Yeah.
How good you can sit alongside someone like Jesus did the woman at the well. And I just found that so empowering, Larry.
Yes.
Over the years, you've just seen like those different shapes.
Yeah.
Door. It's not a one size fits all for mobilization. God is going to use your temperament, your personality, your gift mix. He's going to use every single bit of who you are, even if you feel like a wallflower. Jesus is like, nope.
Yeah, I got to just jump in on that, Peyton, because just a few days ago, I sat in on a Zoom meeting. So my high school quarterback, I shared Christ with him back in 1974, and he did not say yes to Jesus. He rejected Jesus.
Hmm.
I won't go into the whole story, but 45 years later, God spoke to him directly, even though he'd been, in his words, a do-gooder who sat on the pew of an Episcopal church. But he didn't know Jesus at all and wasn't a believer, follower. And God spoke to him, said, you need to call Larry Walkemeyer. He does. And we begin a discipling relationship. And in discipling, I say, now, God's going to use you to go and make disciples too. And so he said, I'm not sure about that. He was a contractor, successful contractor. As we spent time together, as we went through the book of John together, as I continued to say, now you're going to do this with somebody else. Over the last 2 years, now he's got on that Zoom where 11 guys that he has reached out to and is impacting and discipling. And now some of them are discipling. But here's what he said. He said, I used to build pulpits for churches, but I never thought I could build people for Jesus.
Wow.
And yet that's what I'm doing now. He said, I'm the last guy that would ever gone to make a disciple.
Wow.
But here I am, and it's the joy of my life now.
I love what you said, because I think what we're facing right now is we've got a lot of people building pulpits for Jesus, but they don't know how to make disciples.
Yeah.
And I'm talking leaders. I it's funny because Jesus left those 12 and said, go do this for others. And I believe that when he was doing the foot washing in the upper room, that's actually what he was talking about, because people, well, what did that mean? Think about it. Disciple making, you know, when you get up close and personal, you get into their junk and their dirt, and it's messy. And so Jesus is wiping their feet and Peter's horrified. And he's like, this is what I've been doing for you the whole time, guys. Like, don't freak out that I'm washing your feet. And in fact, this is what you need to do for one another.
That's good.
Like, that's what disciple making looks like. Like, it's like that meme where the guy goes, ew, brother, ew, you know, like that's, it's dirty and it's gross, you know, because those guys are walking out in all kinds of nasty stuff. And there's a reason they sat like reclined and their heads were towards the food and their feet were pointing towards the back of the wall, outward from the food. It was gross. And so the servants wash your feet. And when Jesus turns around at the Great Commission and he says, go make disciples, he's literally saying, like he did in the upper room, what I've done for you, you must do for others. He's saying, go do for others now what I did for you over there. And he had modeled it. They knew exactly. They weren't scratching their head. Well, how do I make disciples? Because in the book, I lay out that we tend to disciple how we ourselves were discipled. So they knew. The problem is we don't. And 78% of Christians say they were never discipled. So that means the flip side is true. We tend to not disciple how we were not discipled. And so I love that story, Larry, that, really this guy, he's doing the thing.
Yeah.
He's doing the thing that many leaders can't do. And I hope that we're coming into the age of mobilization.
Amen.
That's my prayer anyways, because I think without people knowing how to mobilize, we'll never achieve the multiplication of our dreams. And I want to encourage you guys, often in the church, we do an either or thing, like, oh, well, you know, hey, what they did before wasn't great. What I'm talking about is way better. We were talking about multiplication years ago. We're going to talk about mobilizations, all the rage now. That's a mistake. Remember, these are two sides of the same coin.
Right.
Mobilization causes multiplication. Gospel and Acts, you can't pick between them. Someone once asked Spurgeon a theological question, and they said, you know, which one, Spurgeon, this or that? And he said, well, it depends. What do you like better about breathing, inhaling or exhaling? And you know, that's exactly what we're talking about.
That's good.
Disciple making through mobilization, church planting, multiplication, mobilization, multiplication. It's like breathing. Mm-hmm. It's, you got to have them both. And, but everything starts with mobilization.
Yeah.
Well, hey, Larry, thanks. I appreciate so much you coming on and having a conversation with me about discipology.
Absolutely. It's been a joy.
Larry, sorry.
Just praying for your book. I just really think it's going to have a impact across the church. And so thanks for writing it. And I know you put a lot of heart, mind, soul, time, prayer into it. And so the Lord's going to honor that investment.
Thank you, brother. I'm definitely told by Andrea I'm never allowed to do it again. So if you guys enjoyed this book, that's great. She said that after Plantology, though.
Yeah, I was going to say.
But at least not the way I did it. You know, 16-hour days, and that was crazy. But, brother, thank you for being a friend. Thank you for being a mentor and a leader. And if people want to catch up with you, besides Exponential or even the Free Methodist Tribe, where can people catch up and connect with you?
Yeah, the best thing is just my personal email, which I give out all over, LarryWackemeyer@gmail.com. LarryWackemeyer@gmail.com. If you write me there, I guarantee I will answer you.
And Wackemeyer, by the way, is spelled WALKEMEYER. Right. So, Larry, thanks for joining me. This has been Peyton Jones on the Church Planner Podcast, reminding you, if you want to reach the ones nobody's reaching, you need to go where nobody's going and do what nobody's doing. We'll see you next time.